go on forever, actually, listening to Bobby Ball. What a tremendous testimony to the fact that God changes people, changes lives. He's changing us if we want him to, if we allow him to. That same peace is available to all of us, and God works deeply in our lives. Let's read for a few moments from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm not doing very well this week. I keep forgetting to take my mask off. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want you to listen very carefully because I have prepared a little bit, so I'm just going to give you 5 minutes or so on this. And then there's a little bit kind of in the message of this that encourages us to do something that actually we ought to do all the time and we ought to be really good at doing, which is to encourage one another, support one another and comfort one another and all of that kind of stuff. And especially at a time like now when we're just going into this, little bit of a tunnel again, which is not going to be easy for so many people. And as God's people, we have something to offer others. But first of all, we've got to support one another in this. This is what Paul is saying. It follows on from last week. So we pick it up in verse 7, and it's kind of continuing on. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, says Paul, so we cared for you because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Do you remember? You put your whole self in. You give yourself to God, you give yourself to the Lord Jesus, you give yourself to one another. Surely, in verse 9, surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. And here's the kind of pivotal verse. That's why it's got to kind of slide all to itself. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is. The word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. I'm going to come on to that middle verse, the verse in the middle of that little passage. Kind of like a sandwich, and that was the meat in the middle. We'll come back to that in a moment. I'll ask for it to be put up. But we just need to remember, remind ourselves and understand here that what Paul is doing as he's writing this letter to a church, he's encouraging the church. It's rather a model church. You know, it was doing okay compared to some of the other churches that Paul had established. This one was pretty good, actually. And he commends them and says, yes, we all need to model ourselves on Jesus. And when we see people who are modeling themselves on Jesus, we need to model ourselves on people like that. Paul even says, imitate me. You know, if there's anything of Jesus in me, imitate that. It's kind of modeling what it means to be a faithful, discipled follower of the Lord Jesus. So imitation and being a kind of model of what we should be is a big idea in this letter. Right in the very first chapter in verse 3, we read this a few weeks ago. Paul talks about this church, their work produced by faith, their labor prompted by love, their endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. One massive theme of the New Testament, as so many New Testament Christians faced persecution, was endurance and perseverance. That's a message for now, isn't it? Not as though we're facing persecution, but it feels a bit like that because life is so difficult and unpredictable and restricted. Where is our endurance? We need to model ourselves in that way. Paul modeled his sense of priority, his concern for the gospel of Jesus. That's all he had to offer. The good news of Jesus, that's what transforms lives. His love and commitment to other Christians, he had goals towards which he worked. Thessalonians has marks of being a follower of Jesus, marks of discipleship. And in chapter 2, we've read about boldness. That's one mark of discipleship in the first couple of verses. We read that last week. Wholeheartedness, putting your whole self in, verses 3 and 4. We looked at that last week. Gentleness, verses 5 to 8. All this imagery about fathers and mothers and nursing children. The intimacy with which the people of God share together. We don't just use brothers and sisters as a nice little way of talking about each other. That's what we're called to be. Close. We're there for one another in the same way that God is there for us. And then in verses 9 to 12 of chapter 2, there's quite a lot about productivity, about hard work. Paul says, we work really hard. You know, we labored for the gospel, picking up that word from chapter 1 again. And in verse 4, he talked about being entrusted with the gospel. He had that sense that God had given him this good news to share. So we need to start asking, what does it mean for you and for me and for us and for our church, for any church, for the Christians of Faversham? How should being entrusted with the good news of Jesus, which we have, Steph told us, didn't he? We are the message. How should that change us? How should that shape us and our life together? Last week we were talking about sharing our lives. This chapter suggests a way of being church that builds a different kind of community from anything else, a model community. And one of the important parts of that is to explore how well we are helping one another to grow as disciples of Jesus. And that's where we come to this verse that is right in the middle of this. For you know, says Paul, that we dealt with you as a father deals with his own children. Here it comes, encouraging, comforting, and urging. I'm old enough to remember the Eurovision Song Contest in 1972. There it goes. I remember the New Seekers. Beg, steal, or borrow. Yes, I will. Can you remember that one? I've just got a head for music. Some of you might remember. Beg, steal, or borrow by the New Seekers. What we've got here is Paul's version of that. He's not actually saying beg, steal, or borrow. He does use a word which can mean beg, though. He really does. There's a word here, various translations. There are different ways of picking out these three words. And they're not interchangeable, but they cover a lot of ground. Begging, urging, pleading, that's there. Encouraging, supporting, comforting. There's a sense of urgency in these words. And I could spend ages doing a word study on them. I'm not going to. I'm simply going to say that a mark of the community of God's people is that we are all encouraging, comforting, and urging one another to live lives worthy of God. Whose responsibility is that to do this? It's all of us. Paul is saying this is shared responsibility. He extends that idea of parenthood, God's parenthood for us, the way God looks after us like a heavenly parent, and says that he wanted to do that because that's how we ought to treat one another. There's that well-known African proverb, isn't there? It takes a village to raise a child. And it's not just about children, it's about all of us as children of God. And we need one another. Paul uses these words, all necessary to help us grow in discipleship. Sometimes people need others to cheer for them. Sometimes we need people to help us get up after disappointment and discouragement. Sometimes we need a kick in the pants from somebody who's telling us to get on with it. And always we need the wisdom to know which is the best thing for the moment. And we don't always get that right. We all need someone to urge us to live a life worthy of God. Who or what encourages you, persuades you, urges you to be more like Jesus? We're going to pray in a moment in communion. Just there's be a moment there just to recall people who've done that for us, because that's great. We're almost doing that. I think Chris was leading us in that kind of way. People have been important to us and done that. But, you know, we need to be doing that for other people. It isn't that some of us do it and some of us don't. We all are in this. Bringing people to faith matters. Growing people in faith matters. It's a task for everyone. And there is a sense of urgency here. How might you encourage, comfort, and urge others in their faith journey is the question for this week. Before we come to communion, I'm going to come amongst you with a microphone and stand 2 meters away from you with a mask on. And I'm going to ask you please to keep your masks on. I'm simply going to ask a quick question here. Have a quick think. Scratch your heads. Is there anything right now that you want to say that would encourage, comfort, urge, plead, beg others here at home to live lives worthy of God. At a moment when we are facing, once again, a national dilemma, more than a dilemma, what can we say that will do something that this week we will go away from and we'll say, oh, I'm so glad so-and-so was there. What they said just got through to me today. And most of the time, it's not me, it's one another. So let me go and get my, I'm going to call it my Freddie Mercury microphone. And we've only got just a few minutes for this. If you've got anything that you can say, and I'm very grateful to Kev for helping with this. Here it is. I don't feel like Freddie. Okay. Anyone going to encourage us, or maybe just to a little prayer for us, just use your voice, your normal voice. I think that was Claire. Now, is it going to work? Don't touch the microphone.
When you're at home on your own, just remember you are never alone. God is always with us. He will not forsake us.
Thank you, Claire. God is always with us. We are never home alone. Bless you, Claire. Anyone else? Going to come over there? It's going to be hard because I'm going to come between you two. That, I didn't think that one through, did I? Okay.
It tells us in Exodus 22, verse 27, that when we cry out to him, he does hear us, for he is compassionate. Amen.
Amen. Juliet, bless you. God is a compassionate God. He does hear us when we call to him. Thank you. Anyone else?
Reflecting that obviously fellowship in relationship with one another and God, but as humans we need to actively phone friends, post to friends, email friends, WhatsApp friends, whatever it is, we have to reach out and connect because people are not going to connect with us otherwise.
Thank you. Yes, Susan, thank you so much. And again, coming into this period of time, all the more, we need to be in touch and we need to take the initiative to do that. Thank you.
May God enable us to take this time of lockdown as an opportunity to get really serious with our God and let him transform our lives while we can be quiet and let him do that.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Sometimes there's so much going on. There's so much busyness, especially for those of us who are activists. So when we have more time, solitude's a great thing. It's not the same as loneliness, and that's a discipline for Christian people.
That when we have more time, then we have more time to read. And perhaps we have more time to read the Word and to read it slowly. I've been amazed at the new things I've learned from passages that I know practically off by heart. He's an amazing God.
Thank you, Anne. Thank you. Yes, another reminder that God's word is pretty inexhaustible, really, and spending quality time and not rushing it is absolutely vital. Anyone else? Any last thoughts before I put my Mercury down? Thanks very much. Did that within the spirit and letter of the law. Father, we are grateful for one another and we don't want to go away not hearing this morning. You have said, she who has ears to hear, let them hear when you speak. And often, Jesus, you left your followers and the crowds to mull and ponder on what you'd said. We thank you for this word that talks about us encouraging, comforting, and urging one another to live lives worthy. And we pray that we may find the practical ways that we've already spoken about this morning to do that in the next few weeks, to not lose this opportunity, and perhaps to build better community together as your people, and to reach out with that same love to others who do not know the certainty that we have in the Lord Jesus. We pray it in his name. Amen.